Hello, and welcome to The Naked Roommate, an advice podcast from WRGW District Radio.
I'm one of your hosts, Ruby Sigmund.
I'm another one of your hosts, Leo.
I'm the other host, third time's the charm, Mac.
Yeah, and this week, month, year.
Yeah, true.
We'll be talking about, well, what's our first topic, Leo?
Our first prompt says, my friend is having a really hard time getting over a guy, but I'm not sure how I can support. I've tried a few different things, but it seems like nothing is working.
Breakups, or maybe not, breakup might be a dramatic word because who knows what their relationship was exactly, but splitting up from somebody that you're seeing is always really tough. I recently just went through one. I cannot say that it's easy. It's very hard. It's okay. I'm kind of balling. I'm not going to lie. I'm just kidding. I'm really sad. But it's okay. That's the whole point, is that it goes back and forth. You know, like, sometimes you just need to let your friend be really sad for a while. And it's about being there for them and understanding that everybody's situation is different. And empathy and sympathy are not equivalent. Not pretending that you understand what they're going through, but knowing that you don't know what they're going through, even if you have been through a separation before. And just letting life be shit for a little while, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of times, especially in like early relationships or like first relationships, it's hard to see yourself like apart from the other person, you know, not necessarily codependence, but like it's hard to not have part of your happiness rely on them. So I think that being able to show them like, hey, we're having fun, we're friends, and like you are your own person outside of this relationship and you don't need that other person in your life. And you could be better off even. You could take a turn. Maybe you'll meet someone new. Maybe you'll get a promotion.
Or a new animal.
Manifesting that, yeah.
I mean, I say this as someone who hasn't ever been in this situation, but I feel like, theoretically, awesome. Are you really ever over someone? Like, if you're doing love right, if you're, like, being vulnerable and open and giving yourself to someone, which I think is so powerful and can teach you so much about yourself, if you're doing that well, are you ever really gonna get over someone? I don't even know if we should. I mean, we should. I think we should for sure try to kiss goodbye the things holding us to that relationship, especially if it has ended. But I think you still take with you the parts that were good and that made you better.
Exactly. Yeah, that's so real. I feel like navigating so this is my first relationship personally. I've never been in an official relationship before. And I still very much love him. Like, and I understand that that's not going to go away. And he understands that too. He's my best friend. Those aren't feelings that just, you know, evaporate and are gone in an instant. And I fully believe that a part of me will forever love him, you know? And as much as that sucks sometimes, like, it's also very comforting in a sense of knowing that you gave something so much and you gave someone so much, and you have that capability to love to such a great amount. And I feel like it's enlightening to know that, like, I can love somebody the amount that I love him, you know, and that can happen again. And I feel like letting your friend go through, you know, kind of the five stages of grief, like, they're grieving a wonderful thing, you know. I assume it was a wonderful thing. I'm not quite sure what the nature of their relationship was, but like, letting them go through that grief and just being a strong rock alongside them, opening your door, saying, come, you know, talk to me whenever you need it. If you need any sort of, if you just need to be sad, if you need to be happy, if you want to go out, you know, like, and then maybe like, as time goes on, like, it will get easier, you know, they will start to relearn how to be an individual, like Ruby was saying, and then you can, you know, be like, oh, let's go out, you know, like, let's go do things as like that acceptance kind of comes, rolls around, you know, like
fifth stage. I think that in breakups, you will always love the person that you were with at the time. And maybe you loved that feeling that you had with them at that stage of your life. But I think a lot of times in breakups, and I can't speak to your exact situation, Mac, it's like you miss the feeling of how you were or how they were while you were together, but you grow as people, especially even over relationships. And I think looking back, you can get into other relationships and love other people and still have a place in your heart for them, but not have that level of love or have like a different form of love with other people, you know?
Yeah. I think love really, really differs from person to person. You know, like the way that I am in love with my ex, like, is different than the way that I have loved people in the past as well. You know, like, it's not the first time I've loved someone, you know, but it's just very different, like, to a different extent than I've ever loved anyone. Like you said, love is very different. And just because your friend might, you know, be going through something that's really hard and they might still love the person that they were with or really like them or whatever the situation, they can hold on to that while still moving forward and evolving, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to get over somebody to move on.
Facts. And also online, they say, like, it takes, like, the colloquial statement is, like, however long your relationship was, like, divide it in half, and that's how long it takes to get over them.
Oh, really?
Or something. Really? I mean, that's, but like, such a, you know, that's such a generalized statement.
That's such a social media kind of, to even put a number on something like that.
But still, like, that feeling that that your friend has, like, to that extent, will diminish.
Definitely.
TBH, though, my mom was, her first marriage was to this guy who then moved, so we're from Cuba, so they got married in Cuba and stuff. He moved to Bolivia, and their divorce was kind of like a ghosting, like he, like, ghosted her from Bolivia, and that's, like, that was their breakup, and they were, like, in a marriage, you know, so
that's,
it's, like.
That's insane.
What? They had years of relationship under their belt. And so they, to this day, have never spoken. They got divorced, like, remotely.
How does your mom feel about him?
She talks about him, like, openly. But so that was going to be my point, that, like, she got over him. And I mean, I don't even know what I mean by over him, but.
She moved on.
She moved on. And, I mean, I guess in that case, he showed her that their communication and their love wasn't really a priority in his agenda. And then she met my dad, who happened to be his best friend.
You're kidding.
That is tea.
And a guest at their wedding. And then they got married. You know,
sometimes if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. Yeah, you know?
That's incredible.
That's savage, though. Your mom's a baddie.
Exactly.
That's hot. Yeah.
But also, I feel like sometimes, I mean, I've met people who can tell themselves this narrative of, like, once they find a love that is maybe healthier or more convenient than a past love, they'll say, like, oh, this is love. I didn't know what love was before. I wasn't really in love before. But, I mean, I think sometimes, like, for sure. But I think other times, too, like, it helps to accept that love can just look like different things at different times. And I feel like I've fallen in love a million times after a moment, after, like, a conversation, after a week of knowing someone.
Aww.
And I think it's just, like, this free fall, if you just, like, accept it, it can be so beautiful to know that you can go there to that place without any preconceived notions or I don't know, like, ideas of what that turns you into, what falling in love with someone turns you into, whether that be, like, you think you're weak or you don't have the upper hand, or that someone has control over you because you happen to feel love for them. I think those are all, like, these narratives that kind of turn us away from love, and we almost feel embarrassed to be in love, and we feel like, oh my God, like, I don't want that. That means, like, that person has power over me. But I don't know, I think it's such a so much beautiful, so many beautiful things come out of it. So I don't think we should be afraid.
Yeah. So our second prompt is a little long, so stick with me. There was this girl that was in the same org that I am now a part of, and she not only was one of the most unwelcoming e-board members, but showed numerous times that she lacked authenticity. Anyway, she sat down next to me in class for the first time, even though we've had class together since last year, but she's never even said hello. She tried really hard striking a convo with me, but I knew something was off. It just seemed super random. She asked about the org, and I told her about a trip we were doing, and it was all expenses paid since we are student leaders. She kept asking so many questions, and I just had an off feeling about it. Fast forward to my next meeting with the other org officers, the president shared that someone she knows heard from someone else that we, as a board, are hogging certain opportunities from others and taking advantage. Can you guess who was the one that said that? I know I have my guesses.
Ooh.
Saucy.
I think this is a situation where I don't think you, like, need to give the person the benefit of the doubt, really. It definitely makes sense for the situation. But it also, I don't think, is something, unless you really feel the need to, you need to confront that person about, I think.
Yeah.
Because no matter if they did or did not say that, they'll deny it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to be like, yeah, you got me.
Oh, no, I did say that.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's, like, that's a shitty thing to say. And, yeah, just I think the way that GW in general runs their clubs and runs, like, the student association, things like that, they can do a lot better speaking from someone in multiple clubs.
Yeah, I definitely think that, like, I agree with everything you're saying, Ruby. I feel like it's more just like a tea sesh. I just think it's kind of funny, like, the prompt doesn't really ask for any sort of, like, advice in particular, but it's kind of just like a rant, which is what we're here for. But it's, I just think it's not worth stirring up more things, you know, like, playing into it. It's just like feeding the beast in a way, you know. I'm definitely somebody who confronts people more than anything, I'm going to be honest. I'm very open and honest about my feelings a lot of the time. But in situations like this, I would say it's not always necessary. And I just feel like it'll give you more trouble than it's worth. You know, like, it'll be more trouble for you to talk about something like that than, and, like, address the situation, than it would be to just kind of be like, that's the situation for the trip. Like, we're leaders in this organization. We've earned something like this. You know, if you have an issue with it, that's not our fault, you know. Or, like, if you are somebody who is organizing it, maybe you do need to reassess, like, who's going on the trip and why, and what is the reasoning behind it, you know.
Because it sounds like the president wasn't in on it, because if this person, we think, told the president and then the president said it to the whole organization, wouldn't they be part of that student leader all expenses paid mm-hmm. for trip? That's confusing. And then to play devil's advocate a little bit, could you be projecting, maybe, like, maybe this person has nothing to do with that, with telling the president, or maybe they didn't even mean to come off odd or inauthentic.
Yeah. I will say, trust your gut.
True.
Unless you're somebody who, like, jumps to conclusions often, because then it's like, maybe, you know, give it a little bit of a benefit of the doubt if you're always thinking worst case scenario. But if you have that, like, that tingly feeling in your tummy, like, you know best, honestly. Like, in my past experiences, when I haven't listened to my gut is when I've regretted it the most. Just point blank, period. Like, it's always, I always end up regretting it. And I'm like, I fucking knew it. Like, I knew it. So I say trust your gut. I feel like, but also be honest with yourself, you know?
Yeah. I think, I mean, if you're looking for validation, like, yeah. Like, you may not necessarily be in the right about, like, if that person did say it, but, like, that person, I'm sure, has caused you some strife before. It seems like you have some drama going on, and I support. I'm here to say I support. And, you know, they do say that gossip is necessary for social interaction. There's been studies, really there's been stuff on that. So really? Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I believe that. Everyone gossips like, about everyone a little.
Yeah, that's like kind of why the human race survived, is because like we like are, yeah, we're such a species like predicated on like stories and like speaking about one another to each other, like.
Yeah, like my friend said this. Oh my god.
Yeah, and that way it's like, oh, my friend died possibly eating that berry. Maybe don't eat that.
Okay. Like, yeah, like back in caveman days.
Yeah.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
One was like painting their like a story on the wall, and they were like, ooh, ooh, like, ooh, no. And then, and you know what that meant? That meant that bitch Sarah. She cheated on her husband. And on the wall, the painting was like,
I'm dead.
Like, yeah. Neanderthals.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, you're right, though. And you know what? I actually have no beef with people talking gossip about me. Like, obviously, unless it's, like, really hurtful. You know what I mean? Like, then there'd be an issue. But like people, you know, spreading. I mean, I'm a pretty private person, like, but I'm an open book. Does that make sense? Like, I keep my private life private, but, like, also, if people were to ask me stuff, I would just tell it like it is. You know what I mean?
But there's that saying, what people think about me is none of my business.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, people are going to have their opinions of me, especially since I'm a very strong personality. So, like, I know that there's going to be people that don't vibe with me. You know, I don't vibe with everyone either. You know, it's not, that's not how
everyone
the world
works. Everyone thinks something different of everyone else. Yeah. And you just have to, like, accept it. Like, not everyone's going to like you, but also, like, you don't know for sure what that person, even if they're like, I love you, like, they could be lying. I hate you. They could be lying.
You could never
You don't actually know. So just focus on yourself.
That's why they shouldn't only be two political parties. Cut the shit out.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's history's fault.
We're morphing. Yeah, we're morphing into something else. Or morphing. That's not the right word. We're like, slowly transitioning into, you know, a more spectrum-based, I feel like, political ideologies.
Yeah, but the spectrum is here or there, and that's it.
Well, I think the spectrum, there's a lot of spectrum among the different political blocks, but, like, overall, like, when we're going to vote, there isn't really that option to do the spectrum as much, because it's just Biden.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love all gay people.
we so that's are our gay side people. That we're
on. Yeah,
we literally are gay people.
Wait.
Speaking of gay people, I have a gay story.
Oh, go
last
ahead.
Weekend I went to a wedding, and
the wedding in Iowa.
Yeah, yes, in Iowa City. It was a family friend, their son. So basically, they have an older son who's like a year younger than my older brother, and then they have a younger daughter who's a year younger than me. And so her and I are like tight. She's basically my sister, and her brother is basically like my brother's brother, you know. So like our whole family was at the occasion, everything. Our families are super tight. Finally got to meet my friend's, like, her girlfriend of like a year and a half and everything, which was super cool. But this is beside the point, I'm rambling. But at the wedding, at the reception, so I couldn't go to the actual wedding because, like, you know, it's expensive to invite somebody, but I came to the reception, and these people are like really love nice wine, like borderline sommelier type vibe, like just for fun, just out of hobby. Like, they're just fancy, they know what they like, you know. So they had open wine beer bar, so I had a lot of wine that night. Anyways, there was a really hot chick there was a really hot girl there, and she was like wearing this like black turtleneck with like maroon dress pants, and she had a harness over her turtleneck.
Oh, okay.
Like a black leather kind
like
of
BDSM.
Harness. like a little BDSM vibes. Ooh. And I was like, bitch, like, period, you know? And like kind of short black hair, like half up, half down with like a bang kind of a vibe. Like I was like, hello. And and I complimented her on her outfit one time when she went to the bathroom, whatever. And we chatted for a little bit, and I was like, "There's no way." Like, I'm like, "Are you one of them queers?" Like, I
didn't
like
ask.
like, no, I didn't ask it like that. But I was like, "There's no way this girl's not a little gay." Like, you know what I mean? And so later, I went up to her and I was like, "So, like, do you like what's your vibe?"
Actually, you did not ask.
No,
like
I did
that.
Not. But I was like three glasses of wine in. But I
were you just like, hey, like,
yeah. I was like, I said, hey. I was like, oh my god, hey. Like, we talked a little bit. I was like, do you have a partner?
Oh, partner.
And
partner.
Yeah. And she was like, no, I don't. Aren't you here with yours? And I was like, my brother.
<That's how> you know.
I was like, vomit in my mouth. But no. I was like, no, I'm not. Like, and then I was like, are you? And then blink, 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 queer?
Stop.
I was like, are you,
you asked.
Queer? I say queer because it's like,
that's, yeah, it, that's the I'm most like inclusive.
Gay, yeah. Bi, right. Lesbo, like,
you know what I mean? Like,
no.
You're one of them gays? Because I was like, I am. And she was like, well, she was like, I don't really know. She's like, I mean, I think so. Like she was like a baby gay.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, hadn't really had, like, that's Iowa vibe, so hadn't yeah. really had her first, like,
she just cut her thing. Hair.
But, like, we were talking, you know, like she was like, I'm, yeah, like, kind of, are you? And I was, like, considering she was, like, low-key taller than me and, like, wearing a harness and shit, I was, like, expecting her to be more hardcore than I was, maybe. But I was like, oh, yeah,
because I'm she queer. Was taller.
And she was like, oh my gosh, great. I wasn't sure. And then I was like, oh, yeah, well, and then we ended up talking or whatever, and we danced on the floor, on the dance floor or whatever.
Ooh.
I know, yeah, we slow danced. And we were talking as we were, like, sitting down, we were talking, and she was like, I've never been, like, flirted with by a woman so, like, blatantly. And she's like, I don't really know how to act, but I'm loving your confidence, and, like, you're the prettiest woman here, so.
Whoa.
And I was like, aww. Oh, my God, like, stop. And then I asked her, like, well, and her name, well, I already knew her name, sorry, that's not, that was came before. It's not like we had been dancing and everything, and I didn't ask her name. I'm not that much of a whore, but, like, no, but her name was Tessa, which is the name of my aunt.
Oh. Stop.
Who is also the only queer person in my family, like,
oh, wow.
Married to a woman. And I was like, that's awkward.
Boner killer.
But it was whatever.
Like, boner killer.
Yeah, it no. was a little bit of a boner killer.
You're like, I was like,
can you go by, like, limp dick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you change your name for the night?
No, but she was so nice and she was so cute. But I don't even remember why I got into the story. I just thought her outfit was cool. And I was like,
we talked about gay people.
Yeah.
You had a gay story.
Oh, yeah. Gay story.
Yeah. That's anyways, interesting. Because, yeah.
Gay story of the day.
Well, I'm from New Jersey and, like, my town, especially, Rainbow Sidewalks. Not sorry, Rainbow Crosswalks.
This
like
is the middle
of my house. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's like, it's very different. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, and I never even really flirt that openly, especially, like, at home surrounded by people, like, that I kind of knew, you know, that was bold of me. I'm going to be honest, but I had,
well, you
like,
were like, oh, she's not as sure as
I
am.
I think two bottles of wine in. So,
yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
I was roughing it.
Wine night.
Yeah. Oh, and then my dad was driving us back and we got pulled over by a cop car.
Why?
And they made him get out and do a sober test.
Wow. Was even he sober?
Yes. Yeah. Like,
oh my God.
Like,
he hadn't drunk at all.
No, he had like one glass of wine at the beginning of the night and like
and
one beer.
And they thought he was drunk.
And well, because the rest of us in the car was my mom, my brother, and my brother's fiance, and me. We were all fucked up. So we were all like, woo, in the back. And he was speeding, but it was because the road had just changed from like 50 to 35. Oh. So they pulled him over, and then he said that he was coming from a wedding reception. So I think they were like, sus. And then they made him do a sober test, and he aced it.
Good.
And but they took his ID and everything. But it was wild because I was sitting in the back of the car, and I was like, oh, my God, is my dad going to like get arrested right now? It was so funny.
You start crying.
We were all cackling. It was so funny. My mom was talking to the other police officer like, oh no, like he's fine, like it's okay. I'm like, mom, shut the fuck up. Like, I love my mom, she's such a talker. But I mean, as am I, clearly. But
my mom too.
But anyways, sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm gonna read
the third prompt.
So, quote, I had sex with my friend recently, and it was all great until it ended. And then it was really awkward. The next day, we acted like nothing happened, and we haven't talked about it yet. I like him, but I don't know how to approach the situation. Maybe he doesn't like me? What should I do? Sorry, I read that link really funny.
That was really awesome.
That's probably how they meant for it to be read, honestly.
I don't know. I think this is a situation where he might not want a relationship, he doesn't like you, or that he is like, he really likes you and he's like, ooh, like I don't know like how to tell her, etc. But I don't want to get your, like, I wouldn't get anyone's hopes up. I would say, like, it's also like mixing sex and friendship can be a really bad idea. I know people who have done friends with benefits and it's been okay, but like it always ends up where it's like one of them either wants to continue and one of them doesn't, or like one of them has feelings, one of them doesn't. Only in my case did it turn out that both of us had feelings and he's now my boyfriend. Aww. But but it's rare. It's a rarity. I would approach him and be like, hey, that happened. So that happened.
Have to address the elephant in the room. Whether that means talking about the relationship or whatnot, like just address the fact that you like fucked.
I would say like, hey, listen. Yeah, we did the deed. So I don't really know I definitely want to keep our friendship, you know, like what are your thoughts, what are your feelings about what we did, I like you, do you like me, you know, like, because I know that, like, you know, considering you guys had sex, like, you're probably good friends, like, because sometimes that just happens, yeah, comfortable with each other, so like if you want to keep the friendship, I would definitely talk to him about it.
I think you should go to church together and confess.
Unmarried. Unmarried intercourse.
You gotta get married.
you get married and then you're like, so what are we?
Yeah. Literally. I've been in that situation before. And I'm gonna be honest, neither of us wanted a relationship though or anything, and I had like a little crush or whatever, but and this is somebody that I had been friends with for a long time, and it was just really weird. And we we were both really drunk, and it just like happened. And I literally haven't told like any of my friends, any of our friends in common. I never will, and I'll take it to my grave. But like we talked about it the next day. The next day we woke up in the same bed, and we talked, and we were like, "What the fuck just happened?" Like. Did we just have sex? Because that was wild. Like, what? And we were both super awkward, and it was awkward at first, but, like, we talked about it, and we were like, he was like, do you regret it? And I was like, not necessarily. Like, it's not that I regret it. Like, I had a fun time, but also, like, should it have happened? Like, I don't know, you know, but, like, I don't regret it. Like, it's nothing that you should feel bad about. And he's like, okay, yeah, like, me neither. And we just, like, cleared the air. And even if I know it's not the exact same situation, because you say you might have some feelings for him, but, like, it's worth just having the conversation and just being upfront and honest. You don't have to say that you have feelings for them by any means. You can just be like, hey, so I think you should talk about it, though. Like, it's better than having it hang in between you guys forever, because, like, that gets awkward, you know, like him and I, my friend and I, we talked about it, and then we just like, we haven't talked about it since. We were like, yeah, that happened, and that was weird, and it was a little awkward for a day, and then we're really good friends again. So yeah.
I think you're able to go back.
Oh yeah, you can totally go back.
You're like, it doesn't change. It's not like, oh, it's altering your relationship.
Yeah.
Or like sometimes it is just sex, especially if there's like substances involved.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a factor here too, I guess. Like, did you guys have sober sex? And like, because if that's the case, it's harder to justify it as like, oh,
that's so true.
You know, like, yeah. It just happened. Obviously, if you were sober and like completely,
he might like you.
Yeah, you might like each other. You know, and that's a little harder to just sweep under the rug, I think.
Well. Leo, do you want to talk about? Do you
want to talk about? I just came from happy hour.
Oh yeah,
where I didn't accidentally share it, but I regret sharing with my professor that I had partaken in a hallucinogenic drug before twice. I don't know why I thought I. Should I was two drinks in, and that's not really an excuse. I don't mind telling people, but I don't awkward.
Listen, I think
your
professor's chill.
She's chill.
Your professor went to happy hour.
I don't think that they're gonna be like, oh my god.
But her face was like, oh.
She's probably like, oh shit.
Probably be like, oh, all right, but
no, real
911.
We have a
911 as a college.
Where's your professor from? Something. Do you know?
No idea.
Missouri.
Well,
Missouri.
They do a lot of drugs there.
They probably do.
By the way, Colombia, the country, too easy.
Yeah, I mean
to do drugs there.
I mean,
too
yeah,
too cheap.
That's literally the drug capital of the world.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that's the drug capital of the world.
I don't know.
That's where all the drugs go through, at least.
I'll tell my little thing about that.
Yes, please.
Yes. So last semester, I was here at college and I got a little quick phone call from my dad and he's like, hey, and I was like, hey, what's up? How are you? He was like, well, just wanted to let you know that last night your sister and your mother and I were in the emergency room for several hours. And I was like, oh, cool. What happened? And he was like, your sister took acid and no one else there. Oh. It was like she just like, she went, eh, like she put on her tongue. And everyone else there was like, oh, it was God. Like a sleepover. And everyone else there was like, what?
Oh, no, like by herself?
Yeah, she did by herself. They were like, huh? And then she had a bad trip.
Yeah. Oh.
And so those are horrible.
Yourself.
Her poor friend's father had to call up my dad and be like, yo, your daughter is tripping
and balls.
Out.
Yeah.
They know what was going on.
Yeah.
The
no, they were just like,
dude,
something
she was probably
happened.
Going.
Yeah, so.
That's rough.
Yeah, so she was in the emergency room, but she's never done that substance again.
Yeah.
Probably had a bad experience, but you know, sometimes people do other ones.
Yeah, dude. Hallucinogenics or like LSD in particular is scary as fuck just because, like, just to me, I guess, personally, because ever since I heard about the concept of like a perma trip, I've been
what
so.
Like
perma tripping. Yeah, we're like sometimes you just have hallucinations and like when you're just sober and like you just see stuff. Like, that scares the ever living crap out of me. So I'm always like, but I did babysit a couple friends once and one of my buddies had a really bad trip on shrooms, and watching him go through that, I just felt so bad. Like,
yeah,
I was just like, oh God, I have to be in a great mindset if that was something I ever wanted to do.
Yeah,
you know,
my boyfriend's reading a book about the guy who first synthesized LSD, and so to test that drug, this guy, Albert Hoffman.
Just did a fuck ton German. Of drugs?
He did a fuck ton of
that's
it.
Crazy.
Oh my God.
But it kind of proved that you can't really OD on it. I mean, you can have bad trips, of course, but it's not like coke.
Yeah, yeah.
That you can OD. Wow. But also, in his book, he's very clear about the fact that this is something, like many drugs, right? But
yeah.
This in particular is something that should be taken with a purpose and
yeah, like
for
at
one
a
specific
party?
Goal.
Or
well,
like at a concert?
Yes, that it should be taken like with knowledge behind it and with intention.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not really like alcohol that you can just kind of like, oh, sure, I'll have a beer. Boom.
Yeah.
That it should really be something
it's
that you
event.
Put thought into. Right. It's an event in itself. And it's kind of, it's sort of like, it's a bit of placebo, right? But it should be, according to him, like this vessel that takes you to an answer that you've been wanting to see that's already within like
whoa.
Yourself.
I love that.
But
why do I you're selling me on
that. That it should be a vessel, right? It shouldn't really just be something that you can just dip your toe in or kind of fuck with.
Although microdosing.
Like it's a
what
little
about
more
microdosing?
Microdosing, but even that's done with like
true intention.
I mean, you don't really just do it just because.
I think I would totally try microdosing.
Yeah, I think
that's interesting.
My friend from back home did shrooms, not prescribed by a doctor, but like they did shrooms and it like vastly helped their like mental health.
Really?
And there's been studies where it's like psychedelics in particular, not like synthetically made ones, but like natural ones,
mm-hmm.
Can like
rewire
your brain. Yeah, especially for people who have addictions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, oh, chill, like I'm not addicted anymore. Like smoking, for example.
In like what manner though? Like how does it?
It's like they take it and
guided,
then it's like a
I
doctor,
guess.
Yeah, like
exactly.
a doctor like
you're
monitors you and the doctor gives you like a specific dose where it's like, you're not just like, oh, chill, let me pop that. Like,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
wait,
this is the
that's
whole thing that it really should be like, sure, it's not like the 70s when people were like doing it. Or you go into the woods with your friends and you do a bunch of shrooms that have been in a jar
yeah.
of honey. Like, that can
okay.
That's what
we speak from.
No. Yeah. I actually drank a beautiful mushroom tea.
Yes,
once,
I heard about
that. And that was great. That
I heard
was
about
like
the lemonade.
My best trip.
Wow.
Really
ever.
Interesting.
It was
okay,
beautiful.
So. Oh,
cut that shit out.
Wait.
Okay, I know.
Wait,
I
no.
will. If you want me to.
My first trip was great. My second one was freaking awful.
Were you like horny as fuck?
No.
Really? I hear it's like a horny drug.
Interesting. It's a love drug. I was the first time I hugged a stranger for a good 30 minutes.
Oh. Hugged a stranger. Yeah.
But you know what?
She was horny.
No. He was gay and my boyfriend was next to me. So it wasn't in that, you know, sphere at all.
But if you're being extra lovey dovey, like you were probably like, yes, human body. Mm. Like I can see how that would be a horny one.
But what has happened to me while on those, you know,
unnamed substance
toys, right? Yeah. Is that things like sex seem so ridiculous in the moment.
Really?
That you're just like, the physical world thinks that like where my...
Wait, that's so real though.
Something will come into my body and cause me pleasure doesn't seem like reality right now. Like reality right now is looking at a stranger and being like, I love you and feeling that completely.
Oh, like feeling the emotion.
Feeling that.
Feeling non-tangible emotions, exactly, that, which become tangible in the moment of...
That's crazy.
And physical things seem ridiculous. That. Like, I didn't feel hungry or thirsty or tired.
You
or
just
horny.
Felt...
You just feel like...
You felt good. Love.
You feel like you're loved.
Love,
yeah. That being said, when I recently
that seems
did
like
it...
very addictive.
Yeah.
No, it does have long-term effects of, like... You're obviously at this high where like everything is beautiful, mm-hmm. and it has happened that not to me, but like it's known about MDMA that
true.
After you kind of like you have this crash of like, oh shit, the world is not that
that's
beautiful.
Cool. Yeah,
yeah, and you can go into depression for a bit.
I don't know. I think going into it with the mentality of like this is gonna make the world more beautiful, and that like knowing that afterwards it's probably not gonna seem as great, like. I feel like you can create a healthy thing going into it, you know, like as long as you have that that preconceived knowledge of being like, I'm going to crash after and it's going to suck a little, but like then the world
true.
Can get beautiful again on my own terms, you know, like,
yeah.
like I feel like that's better that way.
Yeah. It can provide this new lens almost.
Yeah.
Like for example, the last time I
try and see the world through lens.
Exactly. Last time I took a bite of the forbidden apple.
That's how we should call this.
Taking a bite of the
forbidden fruit.
So I was at this concert. Fred Again, anybody?
Wait. Really?
Yo,
Fred. I love Fred Again.
I saw him in Colombia.
We lost dancing.
Isn't
he headlining Coachella?
Yeah.
Isn't
he
that
did
insane?
It.
He just did it. Sorry.
But
oh
I'm
going
to go see him in Miami. Come to Miami
October.
He's headlining 3 points. He's also headlining Lollapalooza in Chicago.
Oh, I love
in August.
Lala's so cool.
So, please go see Fred Again.
His
genius.
Tiny Desk concert was so good.
Sick lineup this year, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kendrick is going to be there.
1975.
I just like don't have money and I can't travel.
No, I can't either. Well, my brother's
3 points
there
in
somewhere.
Miami
oh, really?
Is like 190 for both days.
Okay.
And it's
bad.
Miami. So like if you're not feeling it, you just go out in Miami.
My great grandma lives
Miami.
In Fort Lauderdale.
Hello.
So let me.
Guys, so I was at this concert and then I was on my second quarter there, which was too much for me, by the way. So
okay.
A quarter is probably fine. But I looked to my what side is this? Left. I looked to my left and there's a guy, like he looks very creepy, but I'm just like, I'm going to give you love because that's what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And I look to my left and there's this guy, he's about to pass out. And I'm just like, I'm going to give you love because that's what I'm feeling.
I'm going
to
give you love.
And then Fred Again comes on and he puts on I Found You. And like my heart just started palpitating and I was like vibrating with him. But then so much vibration just sent me into, I was like, I'm going to pass out. So I had to leave the crowd. But it's just finding right, like you're at the end, your body, it has within it everything that you need to be happy and survive, probably, hopefully. So all these things should really just be tools in your toolbox. Like, maybe...
Yeah, that's how I feel about my antidepressants.
Right, exactly.
Stuff
like
that.
Like, it's not...
Yeah,
it shouldn't... I mean, I feel like, hopefully, it shouldn't be a lifeline, but just kind
exactly.
of like a little...
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a...
Yeah.
Pop, bring this out of my purse and maybe it'll... Not purse, like... Under my sleeve, that's what I meant. Like,
yeah.
Pull this from my sleeve and like.
What about your bad time?
This was the bad time.
This was the bad time.
Yeah,
so
like,
that's
you know,
not that's
not even
that
bad.
Bad.
No,
but yeah.
I just felt like I mean I vomited. I did vomit.
Okay.
That sucks.
Yeah,
that sucked. And people were like laughing at me. They thought I was like
Stop.
Drunk.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's Colombia, okay? Like, hot take, but Colombians are kind of rude. Bogota, Colombians. They're just like, they're, it's a big city. It's a bit like New Yorkers, right? They'll kind of just like pass you and like they're on their own, like, and they're in their own world. But overall, beautiful country, beautiful city, beautiful festival. Stereo picnic.
Real.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
But yeah, that was a bad one. Like it was. It wasn't even that bad. That's okay. What I have loved about that candy.
That candy.
That,
the new word for every single time she describes this.
That
comment redacted.
That candy. That I have never actually felt high mentally.
Yeah.
Just my body kind of is superior. In the sense that, like,
Wait,
I don't feel
that.
Tiredness. I don't feel, like, those physical needs just kind of take a...
Yeah, that sounds a little bit like
back.
Morphine.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But, like, dude. But I think the difference is it's definitely, like, it definitely seems like less addictive because morphine is like everything is taken away and it's like not less like you feel love, you're just like at peace. And especially like for people who are like in pain, right? And then they have it, they're like,
no, like if you need
ooh.
It.
Ooh. Yeah. That's why there was a doctor who like I think it was I don't remember if it was a dentist or like a spinal injury doctor, but one of the ones that use morphine. And he was like, I've been prescribing, you know, what it says to be recommended, prescribed, etc. And I've seen like some patients just get full blown addictions. I'm going to try like the prescribed amount, whatever. And he like almost got addicted, even when it was just the regular dose. Cause he was like, holy shit. That it's like amazing.
Oh
yeah.
That's so
and it's like, ooh. So I think it just depends also like addictive personality types.
For sure.
Right?
I mean, that's.
Yeah.
That's
that whole thing. But I think if you, Leo, you seem very like mature and experienced about it. Like if you know what you're doing, then you've got it. And it's your choice.
Dude. Yeah. Dude. Special K.
Special K. Oh, Special K,
no,
the cereal.
Like fucking ketamine.
Ketamine.
Oh.
No, no, no.
Oh,
the
sorry.
Cereal.
The
special
cereal.
K. Special K.
What's that? For the horses.
Nay, bitch. Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Nay. Wait, what? Have you guys had that?
No,
no,
no, no.
Me neither. But I know somebody.
I know somebody who's addicted.
But... Yeah.
Shit.
You know somebody who's
like
addicted?
Not addicted, but like does it very frequently.
Same.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that shit scares me.
Yeah. Anything that's like powdery.
Yeah.
It's like to me like.
You're like, oh.
Yeah. That's a different, I don't know. But maybe that's also our conditioning of like we're used to pills.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh, anything that's a pill, sure. Because ibuprofen is a fucking drug too.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. I love me some ibuprofen. I'm going to be honest.
But
popping them Advil. I'm just kidding.
Like, underline of this conversation is we shouldn't really... What's the word?
Rely.
What's the word when you, like, romanticize? We Good shouldn't one. Romanticize all these things that in the end are coming from outside of ourselves and the divinity of our
Whoa.
Human bodies.
Oh my God.
And
like yeah.
Keep a spiritual
like
guide.
Are you on it right now? Yeah.
I'm on a journey.
Should I be an ayahuasca leader?
Ayahuasca!
Stop.
Wait,
no,
you would.
No.
You would. Do you
Maybe,
do yoga?
You know
Are you
I
a
do.
Yogi?
You know what? I actually kind of hate yoga.
Oh.
The cult. The,
yeah.
The practice.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Exactly. But point blank. No. What's the
underscore?
Underline?
Thank you.
Underscore? Yeah, whatever.
Underscore is, I think it pays to be afraid of these things, at least a little
bit.
Like the moment you're like,
Smart
you
words.
Welcome them without, like anybody, right? Anybody that you welcome into your life without any at least bit of skepticism.
Period.
That should be a little scary.
Yep.
I think we should always be a little scared because fear is just in the end what's gotten us to this point.
That is
so real.
Yeah. And yeah, I think like don't trust pop culture necessarily. Not to be like peer pressure, no. But like just cause
it's
everyone else is doing it, just like I'm not a huge substance taker in general.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of like a social.
Yeah,
I don't like to buy it myself.
For sure.
But like, even like, it's hard, but it's also like, it's fine to not do it. But also be aware, like, I think there are people definitely who rely on it for multiple reasons or like do it for other reasons. So just know, like, don't judge a person necessarily for doing it, like,
for sure.
Yeah, but also it's okay to be like,
oh, if they're at a level, like, that's, hey, scary, then be, yeah, like, yo.
I had a buddy pass away from fentanyl. Like,
I'm so sorry. Oh,
OD, yeah. Well, yeah. It was laced. Like, it was like a, yeah, laced, well, that's thing. And that is, yeah, a huge thing. So it's like, if you are doing those kinds of drogas, like, be, yeah, self-aware, get your shit tested.
Free,
like,
fentanyl testing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is something really cool about this festival that I went in Colombia. Colombia has, I don't know if it's part of their government, but there's,
I think I trust the shit from Colombia more than
anything. Colombia, this is pure lie. But there's this nonprofit there called Echale Cabeza, which means, like, put some thought into it. And they had a kiosk at the festival where, for free and completely anonymous, you took your drugs. They know people come with drugs, basically.
I mean, yeah, like, yeah.
You bring your drug, and they'll test it for you. And they'll tell, aww, you, like, 15 minutes later, this is laced, or, like, this is pure, or, that's, like, wait, you should do, awesome, this much. Yeah. And it's so,
well, they don't,
I mean,
want people
it
at the festival,
so,
like,
much.
Oh, yeah.
They had, and, yeah, right, they, like, had, like, this. The festival.
Oh, yeah.
True, but there's festivals here who don't take care of that at all.
That's true.
Like,
yeah, well, because here it's
it.
Probably, it, yeah, they don't acknowledge it, and it's more stigmatized. I feel like, exactly, in Colombia,
yeah,
it's, yeah, like drugs are the,
that is,
that's
such,
that's
a smart,
drugs are the basis of the economy in Colombia. Like,
damn,
yeah,
that's just low, like, low key, like, that's just how
low key
Bogota, how their economy, like, thrives, you know.
But I just think that self awareness of saying, like, okay, this is our economy thrives, this is,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
part of our culture, but why not just leave the stigma behind and take the step to actually take care of the people who are doing it, so they're doing it the,
yeah,
safest way possible.
Yeah, that's so,
and I think that's beautiful, and I think we have,
I mean,
a lot to
we
learn.
We are entering, like, a new era of, like, in the US, of, like, drug use and things like that, you know, like things are being legalized more and more these days, and, like you see a lot of change in that arena, so I wouldn't be surprised as, like,
there's
we
hope.
Keep going forward, like,
yeah,
as things get legalized and decriminalized more and more, you know, while we're going forward in the drug aspect, I guess we're going behind in a lot of other aspects.
Yeah.
So it's like, what? But
I'm so scared.
I know, what a weird
for the
world
next,
yeah,
5 years.
Anyways,
we've got it.
Yeah, we went on a real tangent there, but
yeah, no, but this was a very important conversation.
Yeah, an educational conversation.
Yeah,
yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yes,
and
thank you.
Thank you to WRDW,
thank you, WRDW,
for voting us best
podcast. Hello.
Sorry.
Yeah, best podcast. Yeah.
And thank you to,
oh yeah,
Thais and
Stefan.
Oh yes, thank you, Thais and Stefan, for being the best podcast directors.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
you guys are great.
Setting up our,
yeah, you guys really
us.
Killed the game with us this year. Yeah, thank you for your guidance. Yeah. And yeah,
we'll talk to you. Right.
We'll talk to you soon.
Soon, maybe, or
yeah,
maybe not. You'll never know.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you want to be a part of the show next year, DM WRGW Instagram, and they'll let you know. Looking for new hosts. All right. Bye.